The scripture is taken from St. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen. How great thy art. What a blessing do we have. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. Amen. It seems that I don't even remember was the last time that I was able to come and speak to you. But I'm just glad to be here today. Amen. Let me just say something before I start this morning. Allow me to say one more time, welcome to my sister, Tanika. Because I always said that we are brothers and sisters, amen? So I want to say thank you so much, sister, for coming, and Tanika and her daughter, Michaela, so much for being here. It's a joy for us, and we are very pleased to see our brothers and sisters with us, right? Every time that we see somebody new in a church, it's like we're missing some of our brothers and sisters, and we are so happy to see some of them here, and I'm so glad that she's here today. You know, when I think about what's going on in our world, it just causes in my heart so much pain and wondering what's going on. How much more do we need to suffer? You know, we are living in difficult times, but we know that our God is in control. We need to praise God for that. We need to praise God for that. Happy to be here today. You know, when you come to church, you always need to have a reason why you're here. Because we're here to praise God. Amen? We're here to say, you know, God is such a great God. And we have a reason to be here. I don't know about you, but I have a reason to be here. And I have a reason to be happy and to praise God this morning. And I want to share with you some of the reasons why I'm so happy to be here. And I want to share with you right now. You know, I asked the church to pray, to help me to pray, because my mother was getting baptized. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was like the highlight of my entire life. It was a wonderful moment that day when I saw my mother being baptized, when I was there to do this. You see the picture there? I tried so hard to keep myself together. I tried so hard not to cry, not to let my emotions take away, but it was a moment of that I cannot describe. I can define. I'm still thinking about it. I don't know how to describe it to you. I just want to say that it was a blessing for me. You know, just be able to do this service for her and in front of my family there. And that church, it was something very special. And I'm very thankful for that opportunity. And I also want to say thank you so much to the church for keep my mother in prayer. If you don't know my mother, but even though she was not from church, she always was trying to make sure that I keep the things, that I keep doing things the right way. It seems to me that she was preaching to me most of the time. Even though I was a pastor, she always said, you need to pray. You know, something's wrong. You need to pray. You always need to keep God first. And I felt like, well, she is preaching to me every day. What's going on? And I'm so glad to have a mother like her. You know, I pray for that moment for more than 25 years. I was baptized when I was 10 years old. I was the only one in my house. The only one. So that moment, from that moment that I got baptized, I started praying and praying and praying and praying. 25 years later, God says, well, now is the time. I wait for 25 years. Waiting. It seems sometimes that all that we do in life is wait. We wait in the line at the market. We wait at the traffic light. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We wait for the Advil to take effect, right? We wait for the commercial to be over. We wait for the shower to get warm. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, especially now. We wait for the direct deposit to be available. I thought I would hear some amen. People say amen. Amen. We wait to be heard. We wait for the life just to turn around. We wait for our sons and daughters to get serious about life. We wait. We wait for a change. We wait for a change that we hope that is just coming around the corner. We wait. We wait. We wait. In fact, some of you are just waiting right now for me to be over with the sermon so you can go out and eat. But I got news for you, brother or sister. If you decide to go downstairs now to eat, when you go downstairs, you guess what? You have to wait. Because the food is not ready yet. So we need to wait. And when it comes to this food and dealing with food, and it is a struggle in my house almost every day. Not because I'm the cooker, not because I'm the one who cook in my house. Because some of you brothers know that I can cook. I tried to play something and that went not really well. I thought my brother would support me, but they let me down. I remember that I said one day that I would bring something, and they asked me, Pastor, what are you going to cook? And I just said, I will bring the juice. Praise the Lord. Yes, because some of you know that I can't cook, but I thank God because I have a wife who, yes. But, you know, when we are dealing with this food in my house, you know, the three boys, there's always a struggle with them. Because when they ask me, Dad, is the food ready yet? I said, well, no, it's not ready. You need to wait. And I said, well, can you just wait a minute? Well, Dad, wait a minute. It's such a long time. Why are the food is taking forever? I mean, forever is a really long time when you think about it. But you see, I don't mind that when they're asking me how long do we need to wait for the food and all that. Because it's okay. I know the food is going to be ready. But sometimes when we have to go somewhere, when we have to go see my mother or Michelle's family, that patience that I need to have takes another level of patience and commitment not to go crazy and do something to my kids. Because when we get into the car, into the van, and we are just getting ready to leave, they're asking, are we there yet? I mean, we're still packing. Dad, but this is taking forever. Are we there yet? I was like, oh my goodness. Lord, please, right now, I need your mercy and your guidance. Because it's going to be a long, long trip. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Are we there yet? Now, some of us is still asking this question in our spiritual journey. Are we there yet? How much more do we need to wait to see our King, to see our Savior? Are we there yet? Are we close right now to see finally our King? Are we almost there yet, Lord? We keep asking this question to ourselves. I'm sure that some of you today, this morning, still asking how long, how much more we need to wait. Are we there yet? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much once again for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of John. John 14. And we're going to read verse 2 and 3. Now, this will be our foundation text. This will be just something that we're going to use to build in our topic this morning. So we very much know this text from the Bible, and it's right there on the screen. You can read it there. You can see it there. And my NIV version says, "My father's house has many rooms." Some other ones say many mansions. "If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going where? There. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." I want you to keep these words in your mind. "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back." I thought you would say amen. Amen. "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Amen. Amen. So I just want to use this text as a foundation for my conversation with you this morning. And I want to present two observations that I would like to share with you. Because this is one of the most wonderful promises that we have in the Bible. Amen. This is what we dream for. That day when our King come back for us. Observation number one. No matter how far away the coming of the Lord is, it is closer than the last time we spoke about it. Number one. Number two. When you think about the Jesus return, this return of our King, that event should fill us with faith, not fear. Think about that. So my topic for this morning is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I want to address this question from a very well story in the Bible. The Israelites, the people, children of Israel. And when I think about Moses and the people of Israel, I wonder how many times Moses heard that question from the Israelites. Are we there yet? Are we there yet, Moses? How much more do we need to wait? After all, God promised that he will take the people to the promised land. He said, "I will take you to a land that is filled with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It is a great land. If you just trust me and wait for me, I will take you there." But he did. God did. Amen. But first, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. 40 years asking, "Are we there yet?" Can you think about this? 40 years walking around, going around. Are we there yet? First year, Moses, it's been a year so far. We are keeping the track, and we are not there yet. What's going on? Are we there yet? 20 years later, the same question comes to their minds, and people start asking themselves, "What's going on? Are we there yet?" Now, we need to think that this was not an ordinary wandering. They were wandering with a purpose. They were not lost. God knew exactly where he wanted to take his people. Amen? Amen. He knew. Now, we need to understand that the children of Israel need to have their minds and hearts reoriented toward God. And this was accomplished in the wilderness. But not before that entire generation died because of their disobedience. Walking around the wilderness is not an easy thing to do. Think about this. For some reason it's not coming quite well there. But the Bible says the Lord anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in the sight was, what was the next word? Was gone. 40 years wandering in the desert. And when you think about this, And sometimes we just read stuff in the Bible and we just go right away. Oh, okay. Well, 40 years they're wandering in the desert. Entire generation was gone. Oh, okay. That's nothing. But when you think about it, entire generation was gone. There was brothers and sisters who died in the desert. There were fathers who died in the desert, in the wilderness. Can you imagine yourself doing in that situation? People who grew up together, people who used to work together are now lost in the desert, in the wilderness, are dying. It's not easy when you see somebody that you care for in pain and suffering. This was tough. And the question is, why was God doing such a thing? If you read the last part of the text, says they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. The disobedience, their lack of faith, because they were unable to trust God, they had to stay in the wilderness. This will be our topic, our study text for tonight, for today. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And I have some highlighted words there for you to follow up this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you might live and increase and might enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestor." Now we are thinking, and why was God doing this? Well, this is the reason why. Verse number two there. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whatever or not, you will keep his commands. Number three, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The first words that we need to study today is, be careful to follow every command. Be careful to follow every command. See, when God gives you an instruction, you need to follow. When God says something, you need to obey. When God says something, you need to pay attention to that, because were you going somewhere? See, if you're going somewhere, you don't know exactly how you're going to get there. The best thing you can do is to listen for advice. Now, I believe that all of you here, all of us, are on our way to heaven. Amen? I thought that was kind of weak. Let me hear if you are on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. We are on our way to heaven. We all want to see our Savior and our Lord. Amen? So we don't know how to get there, do we? Well, do you exactly know how to get to heaven? Yes? How is that? Oh, through Jesus, right? So now the only one who knows how to take us there is Jesus, right? Because I haven't been there. If you follow me, you're going to get lost on the way. Amen? If you follow the elders, you're going to get lost. Because we don't know exactly our way. Now, we know someone who was there, who knows the way, who came back here, and he went back up, and now he said, "You know what? I show you the way." In fact, he said, "I am the way." So he knows exactly where to take us. Now, he is the only one who knows. So we should listen to him. Amen? We need to be careful in how to obey every command. Listen to this. Every command. Be careful to follow every command. Not some of commands. Not whatever you think is necessary for you. Every command. Follow every command. Be obedient to God and follow every command. Number two, remember how the Lord your God. Remember how the Lord your God. Let me use some words here. Remember how the Lord your God was with you all the time, all the way, with these 40 years. The key word is remember. Remember. Oh, how different our life will be if we just remember how good our God is. How different our house will be if we just remember how to say, good morning, honey. Good morning, sweetie. If we just remember how to say our sons and daughters, I love you. You know what? You did something wrong today, but you know what? I'll still love you. How different our things will be in our life if we just remember how to be nice to others. You know, us men, we caught ourselves in trouble sometimes because we forget, we are unable to remember some important things. Some of you brothers know exactly what I'm talking about. When your wife is, the birthday is coming, and you don't put a card, you don't come home with a flower, it's trouble. Brother, you need to remember. You need to remember. So take it out to eat or something. Do something. Get a babysitter. Call the pastor to make sure your kids are whatever. You do something. But do remember that you need to do something for her or for him. We need to remember. We need to remember how this church was built. I'm not talking about the walls. I'm talking about the community. We need to remember those who came before us so we can have something nice and beautiful today. We need to remember those who sacrificed themselves so we can have something beautiful and nice, and we are able to praise the name of our God. I wish that we can remember today. See, we need to remember our fathers and our mothers and those who came before us, our elders. We need to remember because we are standing today here. Guess what? Because we are standing on their shoulders. We need to remember. Now, God is doing this with the children of Israel because there's something important that God wants to teach us. He said, I want to humble you. I thought I would hear some amen. We don't like that part because our pride is just too strong. We don't like that when somebody bent our pride. Actually, God has not only tried to bend, he tried to break. Amen. Our pride. To humble you and test you. That's the reason they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Because God wanted them to be humble. It was a test of faith and obedience. Verse number 3, he says, again, I humble you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna, which means, what is this? That's the word for manna. What is this? And we know the manna is bread from heaven. Can you imagine that? That God is with you along the way. God is with you in all kinds of circumstances. God is there, and he's showing you evidence that he is there, that he's always there for you. He is providing for you. You're still asking yourself, what's going on? Why do we need to wait? God is saying, you know, I am with you. I give you manna, something that you didn't know before. No one knew about it. And I'm giving you something new while you still complain about it. I am you, God. I am with you. Though that's all you need to know. In fact, God go and give something else. Verse number 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. See, somebody praise the name of God today. God was with them in a special way. But the question is still, are we there yet? Number 16. 8:16, Deuteronomy 8:16 says, he gave you manna once again to eat in the wilderness, something that your fathers had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end, listen to this, brothers and sisters, that in the end it might go well with you. God is know exactly what he's doing with us. Amen? Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. We don't need to worry about it. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. Will you praise the name of God this morning? See, when you think about this, God was really trying to help Israel to get there. To go where? To get there. To the promised land. He was trying. But their lack of faith, their disobedience, their lack of preparation, they were unable to receive God and what God has promised. They were unable to receive that. It was impossible. Why? Because God will never give you something if you are not ready to receive it. God will never put something in your hands if you are not able to handle. Yes, brothers and sisters, the wilderness experience was something that the people need to understand before they went into the promised land. See, we need to understand something. Before we go into the promised land, before we get there, before we drink the milk and honey, before we rejoice with the Lord and Savior, we need to go to the wilderness. Some of you don't like that. Some of you don't like to hear that we have to go to the wilderness. But listen, if you really want to go to the promised land, guess what? You need to go into the wilderness. Be aware, because if you really want to walk with God, He will take you to the wilderness. So when you don't have everything, when you don't have anything, you can find everything in God. See, in the wilderness, you don't have anything. You can find, you can search, you can look around, and you're going to be able to find anything. So everything that you need is in God. That's why He will take you to the wilderness, so you can learn how to trust Him. Bible says the entire generation was gone in the wilderness. Why? Entire generation was gone. See, there's some stuff that we need to do before we see our Savior. There's some stuff that we need to lose before we see our King. Someone says this, when there's no pain, no gain, right? Well, what I said this morning, if you are not willing to lose, you're not going to gain anything. So no lost, no gain. There's some things that we need to lose while in the wilderness. There's some things that we need to let go while in the wilderness. We need to lose some of the things that we are carrying with us. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We need to lose the sight of who we are, so we let God to take control of what we do. And this is called humbleness. Now the question this morning is, are you ready to go to that place that God is preparing for us? Are you really want to go there? When you think about it, the Israelites, they were not ready. Now, one thing is being out of Egypt, and another is to enter to the promised land. Between leaving and entering, there is a sanctification process. Are you getting this? Between leaving and entering, there is a sanctification process that everyone, each of us, need to go through. We need to think about this. Because some of us, we have a Christian face with an Egyptian nature. Think about this. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. They were free people with a slave mindset. And this, that's a terrible condition to be in. But when you think about it and act like a slave when you are really free, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You are free and still acting and thinking like a slave. Jesus died for you. You are free of sin. Jesus died for you. You are free. Now you can pray to God. You can talk to Him. You can walk with Him. You are free. You are free. You cannot think like a slave. You cannot act like a slave. You are free because God, Jesus died for you and He's coming back. You don't need to think like a slave. Don't act like you are stuck in the past. You need to move to the future. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, that we are of this world, but the world cannot be in us. Let me suggest to you this morning that we are in the wilderness. This earth This planet is the wilderness. Are you getting this? We are in the wilderness. Because before we get into the promised land, we need to walk in the wilderness. So allow me to suggest to you that this is the wilderness. Even the church is part of the wilderness, because this is the experience that we must have before we enter to the promised land. The question is, we're still asking the question, are we there yet? How much more do we need to wait? Are we there yet? Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves, what have we learned while in the desert? What have we learned while in the wilderness? See, the Bible says that God was humbling them. That God was trying to teach them. God was trying to help them. What have we learned while in the wilderness? Have we learned anything? Have we learned to trust God in the good times? Have we learned to trust God in the bad times? Have we learned to be humble? Have we learned to remember God all the time? Brothers and sisters, we are on our way to heaven. But before we get there, there are some lessons that we must learn while in the wilderness. Let me be clear this morning. In the wilderness, in this church, in this planet, there are some things that we need to learn before we get there. Because we are in the wilderness, there are some things that we need to learn. There are some church members that we must learn how to love them before we get there. Oh, I thought I'm preaching this morning. I don't know. There's some behaviors and attitude that we need to change before we go there. But I'm talking about that we're still in the wilderness. You cannot wait to get to heaven to change your behaviors and your attitudes. You cannot wait to get to heaven to start loving your friends and brothers and sisters. You need to do that now, right now, not tomorrow, not in a couple of weeks, right now, while you are in the wilderness. We need to show, we need to learn our faithfulness and commitment to our God while in the wilderness. Yes, because once you get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. Show your faithfulness and commitment today, right now. See, brothers and sisters, in the wilderness, we need to learn how to love. In the wilderness, we need to learn how to forgive. In the wilderness, we need to learn how to pray. In the wilderness, we need to learn how to praise God. In the wilderness, we need to learn how to talk to Him. But at the same time, we're going to learn how to be quiet and listen to Him. Because some of us, I need to include myself, some of us like to talk, but don't like to listen. We need to learn in the wilderness that God's way are not my way, and that God's plans are better way, way better than the best plan that I can come up with. We need to learn that in the wilderness. We need to learn how to trust Him. Are we there yet? This question this morning is not to find out where are we in terms of a physical location. Are we there yet? It's not a question to find out where are we in terms of physical location. But we need to think about where are we in terms of a spiritual condition. We need to reflect on this. We need to think about where are we in terms of our spiritual condition, our spiritual relationship with God. Are we there yet? Are we in the spiritual condition that God wants us to be? Are we there yet? Are we showing love and compassion one another? Are we there yet? Are we reaching out to our community the best possible way? Are we there yet? Are we searching to have a spiritual revival in our hearts and our minds? Are we there yet? Are we reaching out the last, the least, and the left out? Are we there yet? Are we preaching the Bible principles without fear? Are we there yet? Are we praying more and worrying less? Are we there yet? Are we leading people to Jesus just by the way we are? Are we there yet? Or I'm just wondering this morning if we are there yet. Do we have a high level of commitment when it comes to serve our God? Are we there yet? Are we letting God to be the most important thing in our lives? Are we there yet? Are we understanding that we are living the last days of this world and we need to get ready with Jesus? We need to be ready for God. Are we there yet? Are we preparing ourselves to meet God face to face? Are we there yet? Like I just said, I'm just wondering this morning if we are there yet. When it comes to a spiritual condition, let's remember that we, all of us, will not be in the same level. Our spiritual condition will not be the same. We are not going to be in the same level, but we are all going to be in the level that God wants us to be. Ellen G. Wilde says this: if you are right with God today, you are ready if Christ should come today. Are you ready now? Are we there yet? Now, when you think about this, probably you will say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite there in this spiritual level that I need to be or that God wants me to be. But I tell you something this morning. If you feel that you're not there yet, don't worry about it. All you need to know is that God is going with you in this journey. So don't ask yourself, are we there yet? Ask yourself, is God with me? Because if God is with you, you don't need to worry about it. In the wilderness, he is with you. In this long journey, he's going to be with you. Think about this. I might not be where I'm supposed to be, but thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I'm going somewhere, brothers and sisters. What about you? God wants us to take us from where we are to the place that we need to be. We are not there yet, but God still working in us. God still working for us. And someone says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I'm so glad to know that God still with us in the wilderness. We are not alone, brothers and sisters. Hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. This one? You put this one on? All right. See, when you go back to this last verse in the Bible, it says that he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something that your fathers have never known, to humble you and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. We are still in this process. We're still in this journey. We're still in this wilderness. And probably some of you are still asking, how long? How much more do we need to wait? How much pain do we need to suffer? But the Bible says that in the end, it's gonna go well with you. It's gonna go well. It's gonna be well. At the end, it's gonna be well. At the end, it's gonna be well. At the end, it's gonna be well. But the end is not here yet. The end is gonna be when we get to heaven. The end is gonna be when we see our Savior face to face. The end is gonna be when we walk in the wonderful street on heaven. And when you see all these wonderful people from the Bible, that's going to be the end. While we wait for the end, we need to stay here in the wilderness. For God is with us. See, when you read this, the Bible said that I took you there. I gave you this. I was with you. God is with you. God is with us. Start asking yourself, why do I have to go through this right now? Why do I have to experience this pain in my life right now? Why me, Lord? Why me? Why is so much suffering? Why do I have to experience this in my family? I'm losing so many things. I'm not there yet. Don't worry about it. God is with you. God is with us. The question is, are you ready with God today? Would you like to get closer to God today? Would you like to learn more about Him today? Will you take this wilderness experience and just to learn and enjoy what God is doing in your life? See, when you read this story, you notice that God did something great. He gave manna. He provided water in the wilderness. He gave you a lot of things. He provided everything that they need. Let me ask you something. Is God good with you? Is God good with you? It is good. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? I'm sure that God is good with me. He is still good with me. Even though I do not deserve that, He is still good to me. Even though sometimes I ask myself, God, how much more do I need to wait? And there's doubt in my mind, He is still good to me. Yes. Members of Troy, brothers and sisters, we're still in the wilderness because we're still to learn a lot from God. It's not over yet. We still have to be here dealing, fighting, deal with so many things, situations in our life that we don't understand. But the Bible said that in the end, it's going to go well with me. It's going to go well with you. So you probably don't understand what you're going through right now, or why do you have to experience that right now. But at the end, God will explain everything, and it's going to be well with you. It's going to be well with me. I want to make an appeal this morning. Because sometimes we ask ourselves, what is the meaning of this? Why do I have to still facing and dealing with some brothers and sisters and situations in my life that I don't understand? Why do I have to be in this situation? Why do I have to lose this? Why do I have to deal with that? And there's just a lot of questions in our mind. I want you to understand something. God is with us right now. God is with you right now. He can see your tears. He can see your pain. He can see you suffering. He is there. In the wilderness, God is with you. The wilderness is tough. It's a bad thing to be in. But you know what? God is with you. I want you to understand that God is with us. The world is coming apart. People are killing themselves. It's going on. A lot of things going on around the world. In our neighborhood, everywhere. In our own family. But it's not the end yet, brothers and sisters. The wilderness is still here. But one day, soon and very soon, we shall see our King. And we're not going to remember what we experienced in the wilderness. But while we're still here, we need to commit ourselves to follow God. Not some of the words, not some of the commands, but every command. We need to understand that this is the only way that we're going to be able to see our Savior and our King. Are you willing to commit yourself to serve God? Are you willing to let everything go in the wilderness so you can have everything in God? Sometimes, most of the times, we need to lose everything. 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 So when you don't have nothing, you will have everything in God. I need to ask this morning, are you willing to leave everything behind just walk with God in the wilderness. See, I'd rather to be with God in the wilderness, to be in a place with shade and water without God. It's better to be with God in the wilderness than to be without God in the place where everything is in shade, where everything seems to be so nice. If you are one of those, just like me, that we still have to lose some stuff while in the wilderness, because the wilderness is an experience to humble me. I'm preaching to me this morning. The wilderness is an experience that I need to have, so I learn to be humble. So I learn to trust God. So if there's anything that you're lacking this morning, if there's anything that you need to have this morning, if there's a lesson that you need to learn, you need to go into the wilderness and tell God to help you and tell God to teach you. Because we all need to be in the wilderness where God is. Is anyone here who understands that in the end, it's going to go well with me? Whatever is going on right now, I don't understand, but I know at the end, it's going to go well with me. It is well with my soul. That's the song says. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well because I have God with me. It is well because God is walking with me. Do you want to walk with God this morning? Do you want to walk with God this morning? Do you want God to help you this morning? I want to ask you to stand. I want to ask you to stand because I want to pray for those who really want to walk with God. For those who really want to get to know Him better. But I'm going to go a little bit further today. I want to ask somebody. Maybe there's someone here today, this morning, who has not been yet baptized, who has not been yet committed to follow Christ all the way. Maybe you are struggling with some things in your life and you understand, you cannot really comprehend what's going on. But all you do is that, all you need to understand today is that God is with you. That God will help you to explain to you things that you probably don't understand right now. If there's anyone here who would like at one point, hopefully very soon, to give her life or his life to Jesus, I want to ask you just to raise your hand wherever you are. You see what's going on in the world. You see what's going on today. You see what's going on around us. If you have not yet been baptized as a member of the SDA Church, and one day, soon, hopefully soon, because you have noticed that this world is just going to the wrong direction, and you want to get it right with God today, I want to ask you just to raise your hand. Is anyone here? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is anyone else who has not yet been baptized that would like to say, yes, Lord, I will follow. I will follow every command. I will follow you all the way because you know exactly how to take us there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see three hands. There's anyone else? There's anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's anyone else who would like to say, you know what? I cannot wait to see my Savior. I want to see my King. I want to see the one who died for me. And I understand that I have to walk through this wilderness. But I want to see Him one day. There's anyone else? There's anyone else? Praise the Lord. 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 There's anyone else who has been coming to church? It's been here. Been getting to know people. It's been a joy to be in this place. And you know that this is a good family. This is a good environment. This is a good place to be. But you haven't yet decided that you really want to commit yourself to follow God. If you are here this morning, I want you to know that God is also with you in your heart. And He's moving right now. He wants to let you know that He will never leave you alone. Can you trust God this morning? Is anyone else here who would like to follow God? Commit yourself to follow God through baptism. Is anyone else here? Is anyone else? Maybe you're struggling with something. You are dealing with something right now. You don't know how to get over with that situation that you're dealing with. But you know what? Don't worry about it. It's not about you. It's all about God. God will help you. God will provide for you. He will direct your step. Just trust in Him. Is there anyone else who would like to say, I want to be that person? I want to be that person. Is anyone else here? Is anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much because we have to go through this wilderness experience so we learn more about you, so we learn how to trust in you. It's not easy, Lord. It's not easy. But I'm so glad to know that in this wilderness, we are not alone. You are with us. You know our struggles. You know our needs, oh Lord. And today we just ask you, Father, to help us. Give us the strength to move forward and to trust in you every day, all the time. Because at the end, it's going to go well with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.